The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. Today's Vision News has articles from AFB regarding tickets for the Helen Keller April 19th Achievement Awards. From the NFB, their latest issue of Future Reflections, Volume 42, Number 1, Winter 2023. From Reflector.com, an interview about the NCRS's 40 years on the air. From Smartwatch Review, Top 3 Ranked. From the National Eye Institute and the NIH.gov, AI-based tech helps ID a rapidly developing ARMD. Let's get started. From the American Foundation for the Blind. Tickets are going fast for the 2023 Helen Keller Achievement Awards. It's not too late to reserve your spot for the Helen Keller Achievement Awards celebration, but tickets are going fast. Join us in honoring the work of Charter Communications and the Honorable Anthony Tony Cello, or Cello, C-O-E-L-H-O, former California congressman and champion for disability rights, who led the introduction of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. For more than 40 years, Helen Keller was AFB's leading ambassador, inspiring millions of people around the world as she demonstrated all that can be accomplished through determination and perseverance. AFB continues to honor her legacy by recognizing exceptional organizations and individuals from industry, education, and the arts who have distinguished themselves in pursuit of expanding possibilities and creating a world of no limits for those who are blind or have low vision. Join us. Attendees to our leadership conference will receive a 60% discounted ticket to the Helen Keller Achievement Awards. Event information. The Helen Keller Achievement Awards celebration will be held at the Hyatt Regency Crystal City in Arlington, Virginia on Wednesday, April 19th, the evening prior to our leadership conference. Business attire, please. 6 to 7 p.m. is cocktail reception. 7 to 8 p.m. program and awards. 8 to 9 p.m. dessert reception. Can't attend but still want to make a difference? Please consider making a donation to the AFB or help us spread the word by forwarding this email to friends or colleagues. From NFB.org, Future Reflections, Volume 42, Number 1, Winter 2023, a magazine for parents and teachers of blind children, published by the American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults in partnership with the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. Deborah Kent Stein, editor. Copyright 2023, American Action Fund for Blind Children and Adults. For more information about blindness and children, contact National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Phone number 410-659-9314. Website https://nfb.org/NOPBC. Email nfb@nfb.org. or dkent5817@att.net. Convention Bulletin 2023. There are plenty of reasons one might travel to Houston, Texas, the fourth most populous city in the United States. One might visit for the nearly three-week-long Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. The city's vibrant arts scene boasts the largest concentration of theater seats outside of New York City, and no Houston resident would let a visitor forget that the city is home to the 2022 World Series champion, Houston Astros. There is little question that Houston has a great deal going for it. The city's real draw, however, is that it will play host to the National Federation of the Blind's 2023 National Convention. It has now been more than 50 years since the largest gathering of the organized blind last convened in Houston, Texas, and our return in 2023 will be an event not to be missed. the Hilton Americas Houston Hotel, 1600 Lamar Street, Houston, Texas, 77010, will serve as our convention headquarters hotel. Situated in the heart of downtown Houston, across the street from the beautiful 12-acre Discovery Green Park, the Hilton Americas is an ideal location for our annual event. Ballrooms, breakout space, and sleeping rooms are all stacked in the same tower, housed on a single city block, simplifying navigation and minimizing travel distances. In-room internet is complimentary to all attendees, and is access to the health club and swimming pool on the 22nd floor. There are several dining options on the hotel's lobby level, including a Starbucks for those of us requiring a caffeine fix, and many more choices within easy walking distance from the Hilton's front door. The nightly rate at the Hilton Americas Houston is $119 for singles, doubles, triples, and quads. In addition, the sales tax rate is 8.25%, and the hotel occupancy tax rate is 17%. To book your room for the 2023 convention, call 1-800-236-2905 after January 1st and ask for the NFB convention block. For each room, the hotel will take a deposit of the first night's room rate and taxes and will require a credit card or a personal check. If you use a credit card, the deposit will be charged against your card immediately. If a reservation is canceled before Monday, June 1st, 2023, half of the deposit will be returned. Otherwise, refunds will not be made. We have also secured overflow space at the wonderful Marriott Marquis, Houston. The Marriott is only a three-block walk directly across Discovery Green, or attendees can walk entirely indoors through the George R. Brown Convention Center, connecting both hotels on the second level. You will find many of the same amenities at the Marriott, as well as a Texas-shaped lazy river pool. The room rate at the Marriott Marquis is also $119 per night for singles, doubles, triples, and quads. To book a room, call 1-877-622-3056 after January 1st. Again, ask for the NFB convention block. Similarly, the same deposit and cancellation notice policies apply. The 2023 convention of the National Federation of the Blind will be a truly exciting and memorable event with an unparalleled program and rededication to the goals and work of our movement. A wide range of seminars for parents of blind children, technology enthusiasts, job seekers, and other groups will kick off the week on Saturday, July 1st. Convention registration and registration packet pickup will also open on Saturday. Breakout sessions continue on Sunday through along with committee meetings. Monday, July 3rd will kick off with the annual meeting, open to all, of the Board of Directors of the National Federation of the Blind. National Division meetings will follow the board meeting that afternoon and evening. General Convention sessions will begin on Tuesday, July 4th, and continue through the afternoon of Thursday, July 6th. Convention ends on a high note with the banquet Thursday evening, so be sure to pack your fancy clothes. The fall of the gavel at the close of banquet will signal convention's adjournment. Remember that, as usual, we need door prizes from state affiliates, local chapters, and individuals. Once again, prizes should be small in size, but large in value. Cash, of course, is always appropriate and welcome. As a rule, we ask that prizes of all kinds have a value of at least $25 and not include alcohol. Drawings will occur steadily throughout the convention sessions, and you can anticipate a Texas-sized grand prize to be drawn at the banquet. You may bring door prizes with you to convention or send them in advance to the National Federation of the Blind of Texas at 1600 East Highway 6, Suite 215, Alvin, Texas, 77511. The best collection of exhibits featuring new technology, meetings of our special interest groups, committees, and divisions, the most stimulating and provocative program items of any meeting of the blind in the world, the chance to renew friendships in our Federation family, and the unparalleled opportunity to be where the real action is and where decisions are being made. All of these mean you will not want to miss being a part of the 2023 National Convention. To assure yourself a room in the headquarters hotel at convention rates, make your reservations early. We plan to see you in Houston in July. From Reflector.com, NC Reading Service celebrates 40 years of bringing print media to visually impaired. Article by Kim Grizzard, staff writer, posted March 21, 2023. Since she retired, Judith Dykstar, D-Y-K-S-T-A-R, has been able to spend more time reading the newspaper. It's not the same as when she was working in legal administration in Boston, and she would wake up on Sunday mornings, pour herself a cup of coffee, and sit on the couch going through her favorite sections. These days, Dykstar, who moved to North Carolina 3 years ago, spends hours reading the paper every Monday in a recording studio in Raleigh. She is not a paid announcer, but a volunteer for North Carolina Reading Service, a nonprofit organization that for 4 decades has brought news and information to people who are blind and print impaired. "We're reading the news aloud to people who can't otherwise get their news," said Dykstar, one of 140 volunteers helping to create programming for NCRS's 24-hour broadcasts. "A good portion of our listeners can read Braille, but some of our listeners totally rely on us for the news," Dykstar said. "We connect our listeners with what's happening locally and throughout the world. It's a pretty valuable service." Founded by former North Carolina State University professor Ed Funkhauser and the late Ben Eason, E-A-S-O-N, a Raleigh businessman who was blind from his teen years, NCRS began in March 1983 as a radio reading service that included live daily broadcasts of the News and Observer. In 1992, Radio Reading Service of Eastern North Carolina formed to serve readers in Greenville and New Bern. After more than 20 years, the Eastern Service disbanded and the Raleigh organization began to include in its programming reading from the Daily Reflector, the New Bern Sun-Journal, and Wilmington Star News. Former Radio Reading Service of Eastern NC Director Barbara Hansen of New Bern, who has been blind since birth, remains a regular NCRS listener. "I listen to the local paper and the News and Observer," she said, adding that in addition to news articles, the broadcast includes information from grocery ads. "There are about 7 newspapers that they read. I don't get them all every day, but I like to know what's going on." Hansen, who worked with NC Services for the Blind until her retirement in 2004, remembers when Radio Reading Service loaned listeners specially tuned receivers so they could hear local programming. "Technology has made it possible to get reading service in many other ways than just radios that we used to have," said Hansen, who accesses NCRS today through Zeno Radio on her phone. NCRS Executive Director Mae Tran said there are numerous ways to access content. "Internet access means the North Carolina service may have listeners from other states. We try to make it as accessible as we possibly can so our listeners can have easy access to printed material just like everybody else," Tran said of the service, which does not receive state or federal funding, but relies on donations from individuals and civic organizations. "We have listeners from Michigan, Florida, Georgia, California, all over. We cannot keep track of how many people are listening to us." One of nearly 50 reading services across the United States, the NCRS features not only audio presentations of local newspapers, including news, editorials, obituaries, and advertisements, but also of USA Today 5 days a week. More than 95% of local programming is produced in Raleigh, almost exclusively by volunteers. "There are some that have been here 5 years, 10 years, said Tran, who joined NCRS more than 2 decades ago. "We have one volunteer who is 100 years old. He comes to the studio every Wednesday. He's been with us for at least 34 years. Like Tran, whose mother was blind in one eye, some volunteers have a personal connection to the organization's mission. "Several of our volunteers come to us because they have family members or friends who just recently lost their sight, or their uncles and aunts are no longer able to hold the printed material," she said. "Something like that compelled them to come and volunteer with us." Almost all of the volunteers share a love of reading. Being an avid reader since childhood is one thing that led Dykstar to sign on as a volunteer in 2020. But there was more. Having moved to North Carolina just 2 weeks before the beginning of the pandemic shutdowns, Dykstar, though sighted, learned firsthand about isolation, which can be a common problem among people with visual impairments. She saw volunteering as an opportunity to make connections for herself and others. But Dykstar assumed that due to her her professional background, she would be assigned administrative duties, until Tran told her that she would need to audition. "This is nothing I've ever done before," she said, of her Monday morning time slot with reading partner Dick Hayden. Sometimes the two are joined by one of their visually impaired listeners, a 22-year-old who has mastered the soundboard and reads Braille for his on-air contributions. "They, listeners, come to know us," Dykstar said, recalling that when introduced to a blind listener at a fundraiser for NCRS, the young man recognized her voice from her program. "The service is not only for people who are visually impaired, but is designed for anyone facing challenges in accessing printed material. We are now trying to get a signal into retirement facilities for people who have had a stroke or ALS or other illnesses," Tran said. "They are no longer able to hold printed materials. We want them to tune in to North Carolina Reading Service so they can have someone read to them." Dykstar said the service helps lessen isolation by enabling listeners to be part of conversations on events and activities around them. "It lessens the fact that they're disabled in an emotional way," she said. "It makes them more social. They can go to their friends and family and say, 'This is what I heard today,' and connect with people. That's our whole mission, really, is getting the blind and visually impaired to connect." Dykstar and other volunteers read printed articles as they appear in print or in newspapers' online editions. Even on controversial topics, they do not incorporate their own opinions or make editorial comments. "We just do what we need to do because that's our job," Dykstar said. "That's our obligation to our listeners. We really are dedicated to making sure they get a fair share of what's happening in the world." Audio programming from North Carolina Reading Service can be accessed free of charge at www.ncreadingservice.org. Contact Kim Grizzard at kgrizzard@reflector.com or call 919-329-9578. From smartwatchreview.org, the top three smartwatches ranked. Last year saw some real innovation in smartwatches. Here's who has the best products so far in 2023. It's a lot to keep up with if you haven't tried new products in a while, but reviews are a good guide to compare different smartwatches to each other and get first-person perspectives from folks who use them every day. We research different brands, from the big names to the new kids on the block. Here are some of the top brands we found in our research. Apple, well-known and respected. Apple makes smartwatches in a variety of options for consumers for its iOS ecosystem. Fitbit always has a wide line of products, both fitness trackers and smartwatches. Quality is high, but the prices can be steep compared to newcomers. Spade and Company, a fast-growing newcomer, many people are buying directly from this company over the internet rather than going to the store. While the most popular smartwatches aren't necessarily the ones you should buy, our team found that several of the most discussed models really do stick out from the competition. But don't think that just because you've heard of a brand, you'll love it. There are large differences between even the well-known brands. Based on customer reviews, consumer review publications, and online review sites, we curated three of the best smartwatches available this year and ranked them accordingly. Read on for detailed notes on each model. Number 1, Spade & Company Health Smartwatch 3. The new Spade & Company Health Smartwatch 3 was definitely the biggest upset of the year, and it changed a lot of our rankings around at the last minute. A lot of high-tech stuff is baked into the watch, with a simple and great design for both women and men. By selling directly to the consumer, Spade & Company is able to cut the middleman and sell a high-quality product at a very competitive price. In other words, you don't pay for the brand, you just pay for the product. The Spade & Company Health Smartwatch 3 has the best reviews on the brand's site, earning an average of 4.8 out of 5 possible stars from roughly 500 total smartwatch users. Why this smartwatch stands above the rest? According to its website, the Spade & Company Health Smartwatch 3 connects with pretty much any Android and iPhone in the market. The secret sauce of the Spade & Company Health Smartwatch 3 is the number of health sensors it uses, from stress level to blood oxygen, from all-day heart rate monitoring to sleep tracking. It also lets you take calls hands-free, and the battery lasts well over 1 week, while most smartwatches run out of battery after 1 day. The Spade & Company Health SmartWatch 3 has everything you would expect, including steps and activity tracking, text and app notifications. It comes with a free iOS and Android app, so you can sync your data and track your health and fitness programs. Progress. To summarize, we picked the Spade & Company Health SmartWatch 3 because it offers what most consumers expect from a smartwatch, including activity tracking and health monitoring at a very reasonable price. For people who are considering purchasing their first smartwatch, the smartwatch is a must-try. Update. It looks like there's a time-limited offer where you can get the Spade & Company Health SmartWatch 3 for half the price. This could be a good deal to take advantage of while they have it. Number 2. Apple Watch Series 8. Last year's champion, the Apple Watch remains an all-around great product, with great health and safety features such as ECGs, fall detection, blood oxygen, etc. The battery life, however, is limited. Based on our tests, we had to charge the watch every 2 days or so in order to avoid running out of battery during the day. In comparison, the smartwatch offered by Spade & Company has an 8-plus day battery life. Also, you will need to spend between $399 and $799 plus tax to get the new Apple Watch, a very steep price for those who want the benefits smartwatches provide without breaking the bank. Number 3, Fitbit Sense 2. As usual, Fitbit brings a product with great performance and design, but at a steep price. The new Sense 2 is $299.95. The Fitbit has a lot of experience in activity tracking, and their acquisition of Pebble helped them expand their product line to smartwatches. However, you'll pay for the brand, which puts them out of the running for all but the most dedicated Fitbit fans. We asked customers what they think of their Spade & Company Health SmartWatch 3, and here is what they said. Love this watch. I use it to take calls and track my blood oxygen, stress level, and sleep patterns. It is simple to set up. Great battery life. I would recommend this smartwatch. Erica T. I bought this Spade & Company watch because I really wanted to see if I could use the features before I spent $400 on an iWatch. The watch arrived in a few days, and I'm very happy with the style and functionality. Once paired with the app, this watch does just about everything that the iWatch does except the ability to use it as a phone. For the price, it's an amazing deal. It's very modern and sleek looking. The basic black strap is very comfortable and complements the black casing and face of the watch. Dennis C. It arrived in 2 days, and the packaging was really neat. Easy to put together and get going. It's a fantastic watch. I bought one for a friend first, and she loves it, so I got a second one for myself. Paul A. My husband and I just got these. We're very happy with the smartwatch. Love the body temperature and blood oxygen tracking. The battery life is impressive. As a former Fitbit user, this smartwatch seems more accurate. Sue W. From NEI.NIH.gov, AI-based systems can help identify rapidly advancing age-related macular degeneration. NEI-supported projects aim to deliver accurate prognostic information to guide treatment decisions. Posted March 14th. The course of age-related macular degeneration, AMD, a leading cause of vision loss, is different in different people, depending on the disease type. The wet form tends to progress faster than the dry form. Yet, regardless of the type, for most people, the decline in vision unfolds gradually over 5 years or more. Early AMD often affects only night vision. Intermediate AMD affects daylight vision as well. Late AMD impairs the ability to read or recognize familiar faces. But for 10% to 20% of patients, AMD's rate of progression and vision loss has an entirely different pace, going from diagnosis to late-stage AMD and legally blind in under 5 years. Identifying who falls into this high-risk group often isn't easy. Ascertaining a patient's prognosis using the most widely available retinal imaging, called color fundus photography, requires significant clinical expertise, said Emily Chu, MD, director of the Division of Epidemiology and Clinical Applications at the National Eye Institute, NEI, part of the National Institutes of Health. At the same time, specialists with the expertise to interpret retinal images for prognostic information are in short supply. Only a few thousand retinal specialists practice in the U.S. Even among expert readers, there can be significant variability in how retinal images are interpreted. That's because in many cases, patients fall along a spectrum where it's difficult to categorize the risk. Discerning which AMD patients would benefit from an early pull-out all-the-stops approach can be a tough call, said R. Theodore Smith, MD, PhD, a retinal specialist at the New York Eye and Ear Infirmary of Mount Sinai. At the same time, patients and physicians need to know when urgent steps are needed to slow disease progression. From the patient's perspective, knowledge of one's elevated risk for rapid vision loss may be an empowering motivator to make beneficial lifestyle changes. Smoking cessation and eating a diet rich in omega-3s from fish, such as salmon and leafy greens, can help slow disease progression. Intraocular injections of antivascular endothelial growth factor, anti-VEGF, therapy can help maintain vision among patients with the wet form of AMD, but patients need to reach a threshold before the benefits outweigh the potential risks. Such eye injections also are costly. For treating wet AMD, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has approved aflibercept, Eylea, and ranibizumab, Lucentis, which each cost around $2,000 per injection. The two drugs are covered under Medicare Part B, but patients must meet their deductible first and then pay 20% of the cost of the injections. Anti-VEGF therapy slows the course of wet AMD by inhibiting the growth of new blood vessels. It's possible that a therapy that inhibits the growth of new blood vessels may have an unintended effect on the cardiovascular system, Smith said. And evidence suggests it's possible that anti-VEGF therapy for wet AMD contributes to the progression of dry AMD, which can co-occur in the same patient. So starting anti-VEGF therapy and determining how frequently to administer injections involves a calculation of risk. Emerging role for AI to predict late AMD. Researchers supported by the NEI are developing artificial intelligence, machine learning, AI, ML-based systems that not only screen for AMD, but also predict which patients will be likely to progress to late within 2 years. The systems also evaluate separately one's risk for developing late wet neovascular and AMD from one's risk for late dry geographic atrophy AMD. This is important since treatment approaches for the two subtypes of late AMD are very different. Neovascular AMD needs prompt diagnosis, since delay in access to anti-VEGF therapy is usually associated with a poor outcome, Chu said. Such systems are autonomous, meaning that they can deliver clinical and diagnostic information on their own, without the need for expert interpretation. They are developed by training deep convolutional neural network, a type of AI, on large data sets comprising thousands of patients with well-known outcomes. The network extracts features from these patients' retinal images, features such as the size and type of drusen, small yellow deposits made up of fats and proteins, and pigment abnormalities. Imaging data are then combined with other patient data such as age, smoking status, genetic profile, and eye disease outcome. With enough data, the network begins to detect patterns that can add screening and prediction. iHealth Screen. iHealth Screen, located in Richmond Hill, New York, is an AI/ML-based system developer. I've run out of time for reading this episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, NCReadingService.org. Thank you for listening.